How can our lives count for Christ? There's another book out by Bruce Wilkinson. A lot of you have seen it. It's called The Secret of the Vine. I didn't bring it in this morning, and those two books are selling like crazy, Prayer of Jabez and The Secrets of the Vine. And so tying in with the whole idea of us saying we want to live for Christ, we want to look at this issue. And we're not going to study the book. We don't study people's books. We study the Bible. The Secret of the Vine deals with John 15. So what we're going to be doing in some weeks is looking at John 15. What does it mean to be fruitful and those kind of things? That's title of that book, Secrets of the Vine. Remember we talked about last week, there are no secrets. God doesn't have secrets. He doesn't cover something up and say, I wish y'all knew that, but I just didn't tell you about some things. No, the John 15 gives us some great truth. And for the next few weeks, we're going to look at that issue of being fruitful as we seek to make the application of the prayer of Jabez in our lives, which is we want our lives to count for Christ. Bless me, use me, Lord, in that sense. Use me for your glory. Use me beyond what I can imagine. Fill me with your power. Protect me. That's the prayer of Jabez. We saw that. Well, we want to say now, Lord, we want our lives to count for you. We want to be fruitful men and women. And as we look at this, the issues in John 15 are the vine and the branches and Jesus Christ in us and abiding in Christ. All that ties together, and we'll see how it goes as we study through these passages. There are going to be two or three places we'll go. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this morning. Thank you for this class, this opportunity that we get to come together and study the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that I get to be a part of this class. And Lord, we ask you that as we study your word, especially when we think about producing fruit. Lord, that's what I pray. I pray that every one of us in this room will be fruitful believers, that when we stand before our Savior, Jesus Christ, we will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, that we'll be fruitful, that there will be rewards and all of those kind of things. And so, Lord, that's our goal. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior and be fruitful and make a difference. So, Lord, we ask you that you would teach us as we look at these truths. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's the truth. One day, every believer, notice how I said that, one day every believer will stand before Jesus Christ. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It is not a time in which you will stand before Christ and there will be a determination of whether you will go to eternal life with him or whether you'll be separated from him forever, as people have said in the past. It is not a time that you will go to heaven or go to hell. That's based on faith in Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, in this time, sometime that you put trust in Jesus, you have eternal life. But one day you will stand before Jesus Christ, and it has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with rewards. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. When you see the word judgment, sometimes it scares people because when you hear judgment, you think of something bad. But the Greek word there is bema, B-E-M-A, and it has more of an idea of a rewarding stand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things that we've done in this body, whether they're good or evil. The word judged is really recompense, which means to be given back. There's going to be a time you will stand before your Savior, and he will reward you for your service for him. That's what it's talking about. Now, let me say something. Whenever we talk about heaven, whenever we talk about being with Jesus, whenever we talk about eternity, we always say, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. And it will be. But when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, it could be a great time of joy. You could hear him say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, if you stopped right this second and you said, because you don't know how long you're going to live, none of us do. What if right now you stood before Jesus Christ? Would he say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Would he say that out of the gifts and the talents and abilities that he has given to you, that you used your life, your time, your abilities, you used them for the glory of God, and so when you stand before Jesus Christ, he says, well done, good and faithful servant? That's what we hope. Did you know it could be a time of sadness? A lot of people don't think, how's it going to be sad? Well, in 1 John chapter 2, it says we could be ashamed at his coming. Now, we're not talking about salvation. That's the gift that's given to us by grace through faith. We're talking about rewards and service for Jesus Christ. And it could be that when we stand before him, we may be ashamed because we could say we didn't serve him. We didn't take the gifts, talents, and abilities that he's given us. We didn't use them for his honor and glory. Well, what do we want to happen? We want our lives to count for Christ. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And when we think about what we have just studied these last 4 to 5 weeks, the prayer of Jabez, how that in the prayer of Jabez it was to bless me. And we said, blessing means to be used by God. And that expand my border, meaning just use me in a way beyond I could ever imagine. Let your hand be upon me. Let it be your power through me. And protect me from harm, basically. Keep me from the evil. so that we can protect us in our lives. That's the prayer that we talked about in prayer of Jabez. And as I said, whether you pray that prayer or you pray any kind of prayer, first of all, just be praying, and then praying that God will use you. Well, when we pray that, we want our lives to count for Christ. I've told you this before, and I don't know how far we're going to get today, and this could take us 3 to 4 or 5 weeks to go through this. But what changed my life, and let me just say this, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ as Savior at age 19, and I've talked about this before, when I trusted Him as my Savior, that changed my eternal destiny. I was separated from God. I was on my way to the lake of fire, as the Bible calls it. I was on my way to hell, as most people say it, because I was dependent on myself to try to be good enough to get to heaven. No possible way, of course. When I trusted in Christ as my Savior, which is just as a gift by faith, I had eternal life that exact moment. I want you to know something, though. Because I had a change of destiny, because I was going to be with Jesus Christ forever, because I was born again and made as a new creation, that was fantastic. But you know what? It really didn't change my lifestyle. Now, for a while, I was fired up for Jesus, and I did some things. But then I kind of moved back away and began to live some as I used to live. What changed my lifestyle is when I came to the point in my life where I said, I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. Now, that's not salvation. That's service. They're two different things. Salvation doesn't cost you anything. It's a gift. Service costs you your life. And what changed my lifestyle was when I said, I want my life to count for you. Do you want your life to count for Christ? Now, that's what will change you. Now, you've been changed already from the inside out. You go into heaven, you got eternal life, you got all that. But let me tell you, you can still live just like you used to live, because you got the flesh. The flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh, contrary one to another. That's a battle going on inside of us. That's who you're going to serve. You're going to serve your flesh, or you're going to serve Jesus Christ. We're talking in this study about being fruitful. We're talking about our lives counting for Jesus Christ. And my lifestyle did not really change until I said, I want my life to count for Him. There are a lot of things about producing fruit that we're going to see in the next couple of weeks. The bottom line all goes back to John 15, and the bottom line always goes back to this one truth, abide in Christ. And we'll talk about what does it mean to abide in Christ. What does it mean, all of these kind of things? But as we think about it, let me raise some items and issues to think about. What is fruit in the life of a believer? Is it just living a godly life? Is it living according to the Scripture? Is it leading others to Christ? What is fruit? And it is often said, now listen to these questions. It is often said, if a person is a Christian, they will produce fruit. They will do certain things and not do certain things. Is this true? Some people even say, you can tell if a person is a Christian by looking and seeing if they have fruit in their lives. We're going to raise those questions. Because there are a lot of people who will say what you need to do is examine your life, because you will know them by their fruits. It's plural, not singular there. And we're going to talk about that, because I think it's a mistake to say that. And we'll talk about how that fits together. So we're going to begin with some questions like, what is fruit? And are all believers fruitful? And are there different levels of producing fruit? And why should we ever produce fruit? And so I've given you that outline. Let me put that up just for a second, just so you can see. This is what we're going to do in the study. And if you can't see that, use your orange thing. But we're going to look first, and this is our introduction we're in, and we're going to talk just a little bit about salvation. Remember, it's by grace through faith, and we have privileges of believer. This is so incredible, but at the same time, we have responsibilities. And we're going to talk about that, and one of the responsibilities is producing fruit. So then we're going to look at fruitfulness of believers, and we're going to raise questions like, what is biblical fruit? We're going to look at aspects concerning fruit, and we're going to raise the questions, are there levels of fruit? Can a believer not produce fruit? And we're going to talk about, do you view life, viewing a life, do you look at a life, and do we look for fruit, and do we make those kind of decisions, and those kind of things. Then we're going to go, and we're going to get in John 15. It may take us a couple of weeks to get to John 15, but in John 15, 1 through 5, we're going to talk about how to produce fruit. This is, as I had a seminary professor that basically said he thought this was the most important chapter in the Bible for believers if we're going to be fruitful for Christ and make a difference. John 15, basically 1 through 8. 15, 1 through 5 talks about how to produce fruit. And then verses 6 through 8 tell us why we should produce fruit. There's a negative aspect and a positive aspect. And then what we'll do is we'll end up with a summary and applications to put it all together. So for the next couple of weeks, this is the kind of things we're going to be looking at. So it's a pretty powerful study. As we start our study off, I've got at the very front top up there, I've got salvation by grace through faith, and there's no doubt about that. We've said that over and over and over, that when you think about salvation, or when we think about any study, we have to go back, especially when you talk about fruit, we have to go back to the issue of salvation by grace through faith. And the reason we do is because the misconception of fruit and salvation, because so many people tie the two together and say, if you're saved, there has to be fruit, there will be fruit, you can tell they're saved by fruit, and so people tie in fruit and salvation. They're two different things. Salvation is a point in time in history when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Producing fruit is what is a result of a believer in the power of the Holy Spirit living according to the Word of God, using their gifts and talents and abilities. Two different things. So we start, and as I said, as always, if you got a question or comment, just raise your hand, stop me, and we'll just go, because we're in no certain timetable. We just try to get to a good stopping place, but that's what we are. Let's think about salvation at the beginning. You know, just for a start, one of the great truths of God's Word is the plan of salvation. It's by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. You can never mess that up. People do all the time. There are people who will tell me it's the grace of God that they're saved, and then they will add four things that a person must do in order to be saved. And I want to say, well, then it is no longer grace and it is no longer a gift. It is something you have to do in order to be saved. So be careful. Be very clear on what you say and what you tell people they need to do in order to be saved. It is by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's simply faith in Jesus Christ. It's taking the gift. Philippians 3:9 says, being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which comes from the law, but the righteousness of God, which comes by the basis of faith. Titus says that it's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saves me. So that's really what it boils down to. John 1:12 says, many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. How? Even those who did what? Believed on his name. Everybody knows John 1:12, right? Most of us know John 1:12. Some of us know John 1:12. Okay, everybody knows it. Okay. Now, as a child of God, you have privileges. You know what they are? It's incredible. I've got some things listed here, and we could spend weeks just on these. We'll spend minutes. As a child of God, you have eternal life. When do you get eternal life? The moment you believe. Please understand that. There are a lot of people who think, they're confused, they think that when you trust in Christ, someday you'll get life with Jesus. You get it the moment you believe. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes him who sent me has, present tense, has eternal life. You get eternal life the moment you believe. And so the moment you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you are saved and saved forever. That's why it's called eternal life. Now, can eternal life ever end? No, if it did, it is not eternal life. I got a little booklet that I got at the fair. There was a table sitting there, and so I picked up as many of those booklets as I could so that nobody else would get to read them. But one of the books said, can eternal life be forfeited? If it can be, it's not what? Eternal life. And of course, the book said, yes, you can have eternal life, but if you don't do the right things, you can lose your eternal life. Then you didn't have eternal life. You lost life. You had life until you sinned. Life until you did not do what you were supposed to do. Two different things. So we have eternal life. You know what we have? We have an inheritance. Now, in the Bible, there are two kinds of inheritances. There's inheritance that you earn. There's inheritance that is freely given. I'm talking here about freely given inheritance. You get an inheritance. You get a home in heaven. Where's Jesus right now? Where is he? See the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? That's right. He is going to prepare a place for us. That's our home in heaven. It's called New Jerusalem. We're going to have a new body. Mine's going to be tall. In fact, Kyle and I are going to be the same size. It's going to be bad. He's going to be my size. That's what's going to be done. We'll have a body that'll never wear out. It'll be so incredible. It won't hurt. Oh, it'll be fantastic. We'll have the power to live, and we have that right this second. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside you, giving you strength, power, and ability to serve the living God. Because in yourself, apart from Christ, you can do absolutely nothing. In him, you can do all things. It's so powerful. He is giving us spiritual gifts. That's the divine abilities to serve. He's going to give us rewards, but it comes as we serve, and we'll see some great things there. Now, with all of those privileges of believer, there are also responsibilities. What are we supposed to do? And on your handout, I've got right there, I've got privileges of believers, responsibility of believers. And there's a lot of responsibilities. We're to walk worthy of the call which we've been called, Ephesians 4:1. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We're to become like Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29. We're to be conformed to the image of our Savior. But there's another thing that is so important. You are to produce fruit for Jesus Christ. John 15:8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God says, you want to glorify the Father? Then produce much fruit. And so we want to talk about that. That is one of the things. Who gets the glory when you produce much fruit? God the Father does. You want to bring glory to Jesus Christ? You want to bring glory to the Father? You produce much fruit. And so we're going to look at that and realize the production of fruit has nothing to do with salvation. Now, I'm going to bring this out again. And if you got a question or anything, stop me, because there are people who will say, this is how you know if you're a Christian. You look and see if you're producing fruit. I want you to notice what this verse says. It didn't say when you produce fruit, it proves that you are a believer. Notice what the verse says, John 15:8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. It didn't say prove to be my believer, that you believe in Jesus Christ. It says you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, let me make one other thing clear. What does it cost you to be a believer? Nothing. It's a gift. What does it cost you to be a disciple? Everything. They're two different things. He doesn't say when you produce fruit, it proves you're a believer. It says when you produce fruit, it proves you are a disciple. Two different things. Now, let me tell you, and I said this over and over, that there are so many people who are just sweet, nice people, but they're confused on this. And they're telling people, if you're not a disciple, you're not a Christian. If you don't produce fruit, you're not a Christian. If you don't do this, you're not a Christian. Let me tell you, that's works for salvation. And if you're living, if you're in this room right now and you are living under the impression that you better serve God or you're not a Christian, you're working your way to heaven. You don't understand the security and assurance that you have in Jesus Christ when you trust in Him as Savior. Not you to say, I'm going to agree to serve you. I'm going to do this. No. When you put your faith in Him as your Savior for eternal life, you are saved that moment. You are saved forever. It's not whether you serve. It's not whether you're good. It's not whether you're faithful. The issue is He faithful? Is He? He is faithful. God is faithful, who cannot lie. He has promised us eternal life. So just remember that. So there are people there that say, well, if you do good works, it'll prove that you're a Christian. Paul says, John says, Jesus, of course, speaking, but Jesus says, when you produce fruit, it proves that you are His disciple. Two different things. I think it's a powerful truth. And I'm going to tell you what, when, by the grace of God, and for the men, you know, Nap Clark is going to be our speaker at our men's retreat. Nap Clark is the man that led me to Christ. Nap Clark is the man that helped me, first of all, ever start studying the Bible and begin to understand how it fit together. And even those years ago, Nap Clark would say, you're saved simply by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. And he's coming, so men, he's going to be a good guy to hear. And so come to that retreat. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of people that don't understand that. And if you can right now in your life understand that salvation is a gift, there's a contrast between salvation and discipleship. Salvation costs you nothing. Discipleship costs you your life. You will live your life not out of fear, trying to hold on to eternal life. You will live your life out of love, serving Him, because what He's given to you, not to try to hold on to something you think He might have given you. So it's a big difference. So I pray that that you understand that. And we're going to start looking at fruit. And we're not talking about proving you're a believer or any of that kind of stuff. We're talking about, as one who belongs to Jesus Christ, living in such a way that you are producing fruit, you bring glory to the Father, and He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. With that in mind, let's talk about fruit. What is fruit? And I've got on this thing, we move to the fruitfulness of the believer. And what is biblical fruit? There's a lot of questions there. Let's raise some. What do you guys think? What would you say is biblical fruit? Okay, what else? Let's think about it. Do you think that leading someone to Christ would be what the Bible might call producing fruit? That you are used by God to share your faith and somebody comes to know Christ as Savior? Would you say that's fruit? Okay. How about living like Jesus Christ and having the fruit of the Spirit coming out in your life? Would that be fruit? Think so? What about doing good deeds? That you help people and you do things in the power of the Holy Spirit and you do good things for people. Would that be producing fruit? I think so. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says that he wants to come to Rome so he can lead them to Christ and obtain fruit among them. So leading somebody to Christ is producing fruit. In Galatians 5, 22, 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness. It's character as we're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. When you live out the fruit of the Spirit, basically it's coming out in your life, you're producing fruit. It's fruit of the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says that you are producing fruit in every good work. So when you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, do good things, you produce fruit. Fruit. So fruit can be when you lead somebody to Christ. Fruit can be when you have the fruit of the Spirit coming out in your life. Fruit can be when you do good deeds. So all of that could be fruit. And so the goal of your life is to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ as you're used by Christ to lead people to Christ, as you're used by God to produce a lifestyle and a character that is the fruit of the Spirit, as you're used by God to do good deeds, do good things. Of course, you know when we say good deeds, we're talking about in the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. Now, with that in mind, that's fruit. Then the second question is, certain aspects concerning, are there levels of fruit? I want you to see something. You're in John 15. I want you to just read with me. Look at 15. Look at verse 1, and we'll just flow for a second and notice a progression, okay? I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's Jesus speaking, and Jesus talking about that He's the vine, the Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me, now by the way, we're the branches, because He's the vine and we're the branches. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Is it possible not to bear fruit? I mean, obviously, right? He takes away. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. Every branch that bears fruit, there's somebody doing what? Bearing fruit. Notice what it says. He prunes it that it may bear what? More fruit. So we got no fruit. We got fruit. We got more fruit. Now watch. We're not through. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In just one little section that we're going to study in the next couple of weeks, there is no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Are there different levels of fruit? Yeah. And so when we study this, we're going to find out that when you look at it, and let's just face it, you stand before Jesus Christ, it could be that there is no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Now, when we read those verses, how is it that you're going to be able to produce much fruit? What does it say? You must abide in Him. We're going to talk more about that, how that fits. I think we're fixing to have the first bell, so we only got about 5 minutes. So I don't know if I got time to go to this other place, but I want you to see something. Just turn with me to Mark 4. I just want you to see something, and it's going to take us a little bit to study Mark 4. Mark 4, beginning at verse 1, this is a famous parable. And we're going to talk about it in detail next week, but the emphasis I want you to see is right toward the end of it. Notice what he says. And he began to teach again by the sea, and there's a great multitude, and they gathered around Jesus' teaching. And verse 2 says, he was teaching them many things in parables, and he was saying all his teaching. And he said, listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. Now, all of you know this parable, right? Sower went out to sow, and it came about that he was sowing. Some of the seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seeds fell on the rocky soil where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. After the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Notice this next one. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up and increased, and they yielded a crop. Guess what? 30, 60, and 100. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, what I'm going to show you next week is where it says 30, 60, and 100. That's the same as fruit. More fruit, much fruit. And I also want you to see that those seeds that fell and sprang up real fast and the seeds that were choked out, I think those are believers with no fruit. And some people look at this parable and they think that it's talking about salvation. I think the parable is talking about producing fruit. And I think only the first one, where the bird comes by and gets the seeds and they never are received, I believe that's the only aspect dealing with unbelief. I think all the rest are believers, and we'll talk about it more next week. Let me stop for a second because I know we've had the bill. Any questions, comments, input, anything as we started? Yeah, Brando.
This parable here, I can't remember. Isn't there two of them? They're kind of similar, but a little bit different?
Just a little bit.
Some things that one's salvation, one's discipleship.
Well, when I look at them, and I may make it change, but when I've looked at them, I've looked at them as both as producing fruit. Now, the real question is, especially the other one that you're talking about, how many of the ones who received the seed, how many of those are believers and unbelievers? There are some that say the first three all are unbelievers, and only the one that produces fruit is the believer. Now, the reason they say that is because they believe that if you don't produce fruit, you're not a believer. I think when we look at the parable in detail next week, we're going to see that I think everyone but the first person or the first one is a believer. The other parable is a little bit harder, and some even say that maybe the first two, because the way he makes a statement in that other one. And we'll mention that next week as well, but that's a good point. Okay, what else? Any questions, comments, anything else? Yeah,
Steve. Have to be something that's observable by other people, or can this just be things between you and God?
Like, well, that is a fantastic question. His question is fruit something that's got to be observable by other people, or is it something really that's you and God? I think the answer has to be, it can be just you and God. If fruit is something observable, then everybody's got to look around and say, oh, you're producing fruit, you're not producing fruit. How do I know what your thoughts are? How do I know what you're thinking about God? How do I know how you're praying or talking to Him? How do I know any? None of us do. How do you see peace? And you may say, well, I can see a person who looks peaceful, but it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I may see him from a long way off. I can't tell that there's joy. He may have great joy. He may be going through a major trial, and on the outside, he looks sad. On the inside, there is the joy of his relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't always see. So you're right. I believe that the fruit that we're going to talk about, it may be many things that other people aren't going to see. And this is why I have such a problem when people want to try to say you can see fruit in people's lives and that's how you know they're saved. The verse we already looked at this morning says, when you produce fruit, it proves you are a, what is it? Disciple, not a Christian. Now, you may say, yeah, but JB, isn't there a verse that says you will know them by their fruits? They sure are. In fact, there's two of them. And they're not talking about believers. They're actually talking about false teachers. So if you look at the whole context, you'll see that, and that's what you have to do every time. Has the second bell rang yet? It hasn't. Okay, we got any other questions, comments, anything else? Next week what we're going to do is I'm going to just quickly review John 15 for a second, and then we're going to get to that parable, and we're going to see how it fits together, how it talks about fruit. Okay, anything else? Okay, I guess we'll get it. There it is. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this morning. Thank you for this class. Help us, Lord, to understand about fruit and how it fits together and all those kind of things. And Lord, we just want to be men and women who live for you, that our lives would count for you, that would be fruitful, that we'll hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we want to be those who may move from no fruit to fruit to more fruit and even much fruit. And Lord, we want to produce fruit and glorify you and thus prove to be your disciples. That's what we want. Lord, teach us in all of this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.